This is from Psalm 5. And listen, if you're at a time in your life when things are going great for you, you know what? Rejoice. Praise the Lord. Be thankful. Be excited, because that's fantastic. But I have to tell you that the Bible says, and if you ever go to a church that tells you you're not going to run into troubles and trials and tribulations, get out of that church too. Because the Bible's clear that you're going to have trials, you're going to have tribulations, you're going to have hard times. Now, they called David, do you remember what they called David? A man after God's own heart. Now, was David perfect? Did he screw up a lot? But he would always repent and he would turn back to the Lord. And so in Psalm 5, when David was writing this, it's just a few verses, man, it says this. It says his son was rebelling against him, and it was a dark, dark time. And David was struggling and depressed, and people were turning against him, and it was overwhelming and crushing and depressing. And he was crying out to the Lord. And it says this, it's just going to go over three verses. In the first verse says in Psalm 5, if you're reading it with me, he says, give ear to my words, O Lord. And that word is really interesting. Give ear, in Hebrew, it's the word azam. And that is a kind of a funny meaning to it, because it says that word azam means to cup your ears. Like an old man, hey Shani, what do you say? You know, so they can hear better. Or we have dogs, we have golden doodles at our house, and if they hear anything out on the lanai or out in the back, the ears go up. You've ever seen a dog do that? Whew, right? That's what azan is in Hebrew. He's saying, Lord, please listen, perk up. I want you to hear my cry. I'm dying here. I need help. I'm struggling. He says, give ear to my words. And if that's you here today, listen, David was in that same spot. And it says, I want you to consider my sighing. And that word in Hebrew is being. It means consider, perceive, discern. And it says, consider my sighing. It means, in Hebrew, it means moaning. It means groaning. And if you've ever been, and if you haven't yet, wonderful. But there may be a time in your life, in your walk, where all you're moaning, you're groaning, you just curl up in a ball, and you're just like, oh, Lord, you know, help, you know? And that's where David was. And he says in verse 2, he says, listen to my cry for help. Shava is cry. It even means not only am I moaning and groaning, I'm shouting out loud. I'm crying out loud. I'm like, Lord, please. I need help. I need power. I need your favor. I need help to get me through this dark time. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my sighing. Listen to my cry for help. And then he says this, my King and my God, for to you I pray. Now that's important, because he says to my King. Listen, David's going through it, right? And some of you here are going through it too. Economic times, whatever. You know what it is. I don't. But he says something, he knows who to turn to, right? Because here's what we want to turn to. We want to turn to the drink. You want to turn to the drugs, you want to turn to the pills, you want to turn to the pot, the porn, whatever it is for you. We want to turn to that instead of turning to Jesus, right? And that puts us in a deeper, darker hole. And Jesus is saying here, he's like, David's saying, man, I know not to do that. I've already screwed up. I want to turn to you. And he says, my King and my God, for to you I pray. And that's just what I want to leave you with here in this little devotional. There's a two-hour teaching on Psalm 5 that you can see on the YouTube channel. But with David, it was personal. David said, my King, my God. That's a personal pronoun. See, when you talk to people who don't really know the Lord, here's what they usually say. When I say, who is Jesus to you? They'll say something like this. They'll say something, oh, he's the Savior of the Lord. He's the Savior of the world. Or he's the this, the that. And if you ask someone who has a relationship, an intimate relationship with Jesus, this is what they'll usually say. I'll tell you what when somebody asks, who is Jesus to me? You know what I say? He's my best friend. He's my Lord. Just like David, my King, my God. It's personal. It's relational. It's intimate. And so if there's anyone here who doesn't know him in that way, I'm telling you, there's a whole nother experience for you. My God, I serve a living God. I don't serve a dead God that died on a cross and that was it. I serve a living God who was raised again to new life. And not only that, he raised me to new life. When you really encounter Jesus, your life will be changed. That's a guarantee. So as we hear these testimonies today, let's realize that what they're saying is not words on a script. They're going to tell you, Lord willing, what Jesus, what God has done in their hearts, and they're going to share that with you, what the living God has shared. So, Tyler, I don't know who's going to come up here and start us off. Tyler, are you going to do that? Okay. All right, brother. So it's all yours.
All right, let me calm down. I'm acting all crazy already. Well, my name's Tyler. I'm a staff member here at Loving Hands, Hands Ministry. And I actually graduated and went through the ministry. I'm actually going to have all the guys come up here. It's going to be a little cramped, but I want you to see the eyes and see what God has done and doing in these men's hearts, you know. I want you to see that, you know. We know that you see it in your own life, but you know, it's just, there's something impactful when you look into the eyes of the redeemed, when you look into the suffering and see what God is doing, you know. Got a lot of guys right now, right? Huh? But I just wanna, you know, praise God for my brother, Mr. Daniel back there. He's a graduate. He's going to tell you a little bit about his testimony here. And actually, matter of fact, why don't you go ahead and start us off.
Hello, my name's Daniel. I'm from Manatee County. I'm a graduate. I've been graduated in August, so I've been out for still on for 8 months as a staff member, giving back as much as I can. I'm actually going to school as a Marine Service Technology student, full-time, and then in the evenings giving back to the ministry as I can. Well, I was raised in a dysfunctional alcoholic family. I dropped out of high school due to a suicide in the family. It's pretty significant, and I felt my foundation had collapsed. And then actually at that time, I was in Marine Mechanics as well. Dual enrolled, and I had to give that up also. So at that point, I basically became into a functioning alcoholic, found a good job for not having a diploma. Did that for years. Throughout the years, had many opportunities and relationships that were destroyed through the alcoholism. Most recently, before the ministry, I was actually homeless, living in a tent out of the woods in Seminole County in Sanford. I didn't have my license at the time, and one morning I just woke up completely broken, more so than I've ever felt. Walked down to the nearby lake at the park there on Lake Monroe and cried out to God, you know, just submitted the best way I knew how to God and asked him to help me out of this hole I was in, and he was definitely there. It wasn't long after that, maybe a couple months at most, that two of my friends from high school that I hadn't spoken to in years, they were like a couple of my best friends, and they got it in their hearts. They told me once we spoke that they just got it in their hearts to see how I'd been all these years. And they got a hold of my sister on Facebook and found out I was homeless in the area I was in. And they took a day, well, the evening out of their day. They just got off work. They worked all day and drove from Manatee County to Sanford, which is roughly 2 hours or so. And they got there around 11 p.m., so they were driving around. They knew the area, like I said, not exactly where I was. So they were looking around, taking a shot in the dark, literally watching who was walking the sidewalks and just seeing if they could see me through the trees in the woods in the dark. And at the time, me, my brother, and some acquaintances were at the park drinking alcohol at the time. And my buddies had been at it for a while, and they were giving up hope, and they were going to leave town, you know, head home. And they stopped at a nearby gas station, one of several in the area, to get Arizona for the ride home or whatever. And my brother had just gone to the store at the same time, it seemed, to get more alcohol, and bumped into him. Out of the several stores that were in the area, they chose the same store or were directed to the same store, in my belief that God had put him in that path of motion to have them led back to me. And they were. They were brought back to me. They had the handbook or the pamphlet for Loving Hands. They talked a little bit about it to me, and at the time I didn't want to, because I'd just gotten a job 2 weeks prior. You know, I was homeless, working, trying to get back on my feet. I saw that as an opportunity from God, just having a job alone. So I told him I couldn't. You know, I had to stay on this responsibility I had. And then in that moment, the memory shot back into my mind of me praying to God that morning. You know, it was months ago. And I knew that was God telling me this is what he actually had planned for me. So right there, I dropped it. I came back to town with my buddies, called work the next day, told them I couldn't come in anymore, and came to the ministry, applied, and was and accepted. And it's the best thing that's ever happened to me. You know, through all the pain I've ever been in my life, now I see why it could have been of God, you know, to direct me here, so I have a relationship with God, you know, and Jesus that I have now today. I've gotten my GED since I've been in the ministry. I've gotten my license back. I've gotten blessed with a vehicle through the ministry. I'm back in marine mechanics. So basically, God's given back everything at Locust State all those years ago. So. God is definitely faithful. If you submit to him, he will fulfill your dreams and give you back what you've lost. And I'm testament to that. I'd like to leave you with a verse, Psalm 16, 7 and 8. I will bless the Lord who guides me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. Thank you.
Hello. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. My testimony is not scripture, and like today it's going to be an honor to my mother because she was so integral. The Lord used her in my life big time, and I just want to give her honor. And all the mothers, all the praying moms out there, you are so important to us, to all of us. So thank you. My name is Andrew Kilby. I'm from New Jersey. I'm 37 years old. It's getting hot. I'm like super burnt. I'm not used to the sun here. It's crazy. Not cool. But I grew up, we didn't go to church ever. It was not, even on Easter or Christmas, we didn't do church. Easter was for, like, the jelly beans, and Christmas was all about presents and stuff like that. My mom was a single mother. She was an alcoholic. And it was just all the things associated with that damage us. So I was a damaged product. I was a damaged product of my environment. I was angry. I was a mean kid. I was a mad kid. I was always in the principal's office as I got older. I was in the jail cell as I got a little bit older. It was prison and psychiatric wards and rehabs and all these different things. But I was an angry kid. You know, at the age of about 19, my mom, she was saved, and the Lord healed her from her affliction to alcoholism. He's a resurrection God. He resurrected my mother into a whole different human being. And for a time, I was actually angry about that. I felt like I lost my mom. I gained a real mother, and it was an amazing, beautiful thing. So the culmination of my addiction and my drug use, I hurt people. I hurt people. I hurt myself. I damaged every relationship, burnt every bridge known to man. And I found this woman that I thought I could save. I thought I was going to save her. I was going to be her knight in shining armor. But my suit of armor didn't look like that one. We had a kid together, and I was not able to be a father to her, and I had to give her up to adoption. I had to put her up for adoption. And this is where, like, the Lord really started shining in my life before I really even noticed it. In retrospect, I see so many things that he's done in my life, and it's just an amazing, beautiful thing. But the same single mother alcoholic that couldn't raise me up right stepped in and adopted my daughter. And now they live in Florida, you know what I mean? And it's amazing. It's a beautiful thing. Super amazing. The single mother alcoholic that adopted my daughter, they went to church one Sunday morning. I'm in New Jersey, in Trenton, New Jersey, and I'm ready to take my life. I'm living in like a Polish boarding house. I'm the only American there. It's crazy. Some crazy stuff goes on. And I'm ready to take my life. The single mother alcoholic that adopted my daughter, they go to church because that's what they do. And these guys just so happened to be at the church that day. And just like with Daniel, I was stopped in my tracks with the pamphlet from Love and Hands Ministry as well, and it was sent to me via text. My mom saved my life that day through God working through her, saved my life. I was ready to take my life. I got a text message from Love and Hands. It was a picture of the pamphlet, and I stopped everything what I was doing, and I made a phone call to her. And within 5 days, I was on a plane, and I was in Florida in Love and Hands Ministry. And that was the Lord completely. You know what I mean? Completely. Since getting here, my life has changed. Like I said, I was an angry kid. I always wanted to fight. I was just, my whole life was either hurt. It was like, let me hurt you before you can hurt me type of attitude. The Lord is changing that slowly but surely. He is changing that. I sometimes hear testimonies where, like, their lives were changed. Everything was good immediately. That's not happening with me. He's working on me every day. Every day I submit to him, he works just a little bit more. One more link from that chain of bondage comes up off of me. And every day I'm freer and I'm happier and I have more joy and more peace in my life. And it's a beautiful thing. I get going. I'm excited. Hi, that's teachers back there. It's good to see Uncle Lester, Aunt Peggy back there. What's up? Good to see you guys. I'm going to leave you guys with I'll keep going. I'm going to get in trouble and stuff, so I'm going to leave you with a small verse. It's 2 Timothy 1:7. For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Thank you, guys. God bless.
It's good. It's good to be fired up about Jesus. You know, we used to be so fired up to get those drugs. We're so fired up to get the things that we wanted. But now when our heart changes, you know, when we're transformed and we're wanting Jesus, we're wanting change and we're wanting change. We ain't wanting change. But so who are we? Well, we're Loving Hands Ministries. We have three campuses, actually, one in Metair, Georgia, one in Dade City, and one here in Palmetto. And this is actually just the Palmetto crew. And yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing. But we're 2-year discipleship, for those who don't know, for men between the ages of 18 and 41. See, it's originally like 40, but then we're like, 41, okay, come on in, you know. All right. But Pastor Wendell Wilson was a man of God who used to go into these jails and used to minister to the men. How many know that there's broken men out there that need Jesus? There's suffering people out there that need Jesus. You know, he saw that. He saw a need. And men and women in this county went to praying. How you doing, brother? Probably one of them right there. But and Loving Hands Ministry was open. He brought men into his own house. His wife, Nancy, agreed to let a guy come over and eat dinner. He let a guy come over and spend the night. And how many know, just like many of our kids, when the kid comes over on Friday night, somehow they're there Saturday night a lot of times. Sometimes they're even there Monday, and here they are catching the bus in the morning with a late pass, right? That's kind of what happened here. But in that process, men's lives are being transformed. They're getting put at the foot of Jesus Christ. They're being washed by the word of Jesus Christ. They're being taught and trained up in the word of God. But not just the word of God. They're being taught up and trained how to deal with one another, how to live life together. See, Pastor Wendell knew that there needed to be a relationship. That's something that he learned from Jesus Christ. That's something that we all learn, that there needed to be a relationship there. But I'm going to have my brother, Mr. Joe, come on up here.
Good morning, everyone. I'd like to just give God all the honor and glory for what he's doing in my life, for in these men's lives, and just how he's changed us from the filthiness that he reached down and brought us from. Since I've been here, God has just changed my life miraculously because of the life-controlling issue that I let control me for so long. I believed in a lot of the lies that were being spoken to my life, whether it's from family members who didn't mean to speak them the way they did, or from just the enemy using that against me. I grew up without my father in my life, and it gave me identity issues, really. I couldn't see who I was. I didn't see the man that God already had planned me out to be. And now it's finally starting to show, because I know that he's cleaned the inside of my cup, and it's pouring out to the outside as well. So I'm just so grateful and thankful for what he's doing. Without my father in my life, though, it was always trying to prove myself, no matter what I accomplished, no matter what, you know, whatever came up, and I'm able to get past it. It was never good enough. It was always trying to find the next thing that would just give me value. And I didn't realize that God was with me that whole time, just showing me my value. I just wasn't taking it in. I just wasn't seeing it. So after high school, I went into the military, spent about 6 years in the military. And it's when I found out that I have an addiction with alcoholism, besides the depression that I had from my family, my dad not being there, and, you know, just the family issues. I also had the issue with alcoholism. And I didn't know that because throughout high school, I was always into sports, so I wasn't dealing with all that. But now that I was on my own and able to do it, it took over my life. It was life controlling. I can say that because for many years, I would say at least until I came into this ministry and really developed a relationship with God, I struggled with it because I'd go times 6 months or sometime at one point even a year of just not even drinking, but then I'd fall right back into it. It affected the relationships I had with my family, my mom, my sister, ex-wife, and everything, because I was letting my addictions run my life. And for years, I covered it up because I would try to reach for God. I didn't know how to have the relationship with him, but I would try to go to church. I mean, I'd sit in the pews and really praying, Lord, help me. But it was half in, half out type of attitude. But now, since coming into the ministry, God's met me with that. He's taken away the desire for even any type of drink or anything. That the depression's gone. Like, everything that I struggled with, like Andrew Kilby, it did not go away right away because it had to be processed. My mind works where I have to see it processed. And slowly but surely, I could see him working. I could see him changing. I could see the leader and the man that he's building me up to be. And he's just giving me a confidence in that I know cannot be taken away by the enemy, because I know who I am in Christ. So I'm just so thankful for what he's doing in my life. Being away and being in this ministry is very, very difficult because I'm away from my children and they are my heart. I love them so much. But I think they know how much I love them. So when they see the importance that I put into what God is doing in my life and how he's changing me to be a better father for them, it's affecting them. It's affecting their lives. It's affecting the word that they're asking me questions about the word. And we're in the book of Isaiah. We're in Exodus and books that you would normally have a 17-year-old asking you questions about. But I'm so thankful because I know it's only God that's doing it. Being away, they live in North Carolina and I'm down here. But I know that God's called me here. I know he's called me to be in Florida, and I know he will work out all those details. So I'm so thankful for it. I just give God all the glory for it. But the verse I'd like to leave everybody with is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It says, "Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path."
Thank you for your testimony, Joe. I just want to say you're a huge encouragement to all the men around you. Even to me, you're definitely like a father figure, and I thank God that he brought you here right now to be with all of us. Well, my name is Kenneth. I'm 28 years old. I've been in the ministry now for over 23 months. I'm just going to give you guys a little bit of our daily schedule. Every morning, it's wake up at 6:15. And then 10 minutes later, it's on the back pool deck, ready for calisthenics, no coffee included. We're very limited on the caffeine that we're allowed to drink. After calisthenics is a small break, and then we have breakfast. After breakfast, it is time for chores. We do chores after each meal. Our house stays very clean. After chore, it is time for devotions. And then after devotions, we have our first class for the day, where we have different teachers and preachers and pastors come in from all over the state of Florida to bring a message to the men. And then after that first class is a short break, and then the second class, where another pastor, or teacher, or preacher from all over will come in and share the word again. And then after that, it's time for book reports. Every 10 days, the guys are in the first year, the guys are turning in a two-page faith-based book report. They're also required to turn in three scripture verses. Once you get into the second year, you have to type your book reports, and you're also beginning to memorize whole chapters of the Bible. After the book report class, it's time for lunch, and then after lunch is chore again, and then we have intercessory prayer. On our table back there is a sheet where I ask you guys just to fill it up with prayer requests, because we love to pray for you. We see stuff happen all the time through our prayers and just the time that we spend with God. After intercessory prayer, it's time to get ready for work projects. We have 10 acres. God's blessed us with 10 acres, and he's also blessed us with the ability to maintain those 10 acres. We cut the grass. We do all the repairs. Everything that needs to be done, pressure wash and all of that, we do it right there. After work projects, it's time for rec, and then after rec, it's time for showers and free time, and then at 6 o'clock is dinner. After dinner is chore one more time, and then our last class starts at 7 and ends at 8:30. House prayer is usually around 9. Lights out at 9:30. That's Monday through Friday for us. That's Saturday's a little bit different, and Sunday's different depending on what church we go to. Like I said, my name is Kenneth. I'm 28 years old. I've been in the ministry now for 23 months. Growing up, I was raised in Fort Meade. I was raised by my mother. I've never met my father. I seen a picture of him one time, and I thank God I don't look like him. Seriously, though. So being raised by just my mother, I have a sister. She's 11 years older than me, but she was married at the age of 18, and she's been married ever since then. My mom done the very best that she could to make the ends meet for us, and sometimes those ends still didn't meet. We would come home for the day, and there would be an eviction notice on the door. Everything we owned would be on the front porch, and it would be time to pick up and start all over again. So we would just run from one problem to the other, and that became a big pattern in my life. I was 14 years old whenever I first started experimenting with drugs and deeply fell into that right away. That lasted for almost 10 years of my life. I was 16 when I found out that my mother was diagnosed with a terminal kidney disease. She left to go live in an assisted living facility, and that left me to be homeless. At the age of 18, because of the crimes that I'm committing to provide for my drug addiction, I start getting arrested, and I'm in and out of jail. At the age of 24, I get arrested, and I'm almost positive I'm going to prison this time. But somehow I lie to the judge. I tell him, that I have somewhere to stay, and I give him a fake address, and they let me out on house arrest. They put an ankle monitor on me, and as soon as they let me out, it wasn't even a few hours later, I cut the ankle monitor off, and I was back getting high again. I get arrested a short week later, and this time I get sentenced to prison. I call my mom, and I explain to my mom that I'm going to prison, and my mom was so disappointed in me. My mother explained to me how sick she was, and that the last thing that she wanted to see before she passed away was me grow up and be the man she raised me to be. And everybody knows that disappointment hurts worse than anger. I'm crying, and I get off the phone with my mom, and that's where I decided to give my life to Jesus Christ. I realized that the best thing I could do on my own was a drug addiction, a prison sentence, and homelessness. And I realized that God had so much more for me. I went from that county jail, and I went on to prison. And I served my sentence in prison, and it's time for me to get out, and I have nowhere to go. My grandmother, who's 81, she lives in a camper. She said, you can stay on my couch for 1 month, but after that, you had to be out. And I go back to God in prayer that, God, this isn't going to work. And I believe 100% through my prayers that God answered those, because I received a letter from a gentleman who was my youth pastor all the way back in 2010. And he explained to me how he had never stopped praying for me and how he wanted better for me and how he knew that I needed to come to Loving Hands. His brother came through the ministry, and it completely changed his life. And he said, if you're willing, I'll pick you up from prison. I talked to Keith Stolte, our program director, and I agreed to come here, and I was released from prison on June 1st of 2020, and he was waiting in that parking lot. And he drove me that same day from Orlando all the way to Palmetto, and I've been here now for 23 months. Praise God. It wasn't me. It wasn't nothing I done. You know, God has done so many amazing things in my life. I've gotten my GED since I've been here. I've gotten my driver's license. Even through the hard things, God has been faithful. My mother passed away on December 27th, a year ago. But I know that my mom is in heaven because while I was still in jail and I received Jesus Christ, I explained the change in my life to my mother and I witnessed to my mom, and my mom receives Jesus Christ through the phone while I'm still in jail. Now, I'm right at 24 days away from graduating, the hardest thing I've ever committed to in my entire life. But at the end of the day, it is the most fulfilling thing that I could ever do, because I will have a relationship with Jesus Christ that's going to last me for the rest of my life. The verse, thank you. The verse that I want to leave you guys with is 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. It says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be made like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure." Thank you. So the next person I would like to come up and speak is Jonathan. Y'all pray for him because he's the cook right now, and there's 12 men. So.
Good morning. My name is Jonathan Sanchez. I'm 21 years old. I was born in Guatemala. I was raised here in Bradenton, Florida. Growing up, I grew up with my grandmother up to the age of 7. And I just want to honor my mother right now, too, and all the mothers here. You know, she was a... For me, she's the best mother that I could ever ask for. You know, I was raised with my grandmother. I'm the second oldest out of 8 children. You know, and you know, growing up in Guatemala, it was hard. You know, and I had an accident there that changed my life. Fell on the roof, and I was in the hospital for 3 months. Right, and my mother came from the United States to Guatemala to try to bring me over here so that I could have a better future. And while she was there, you know, she was there with me through everything that I was going through. You know, after I got out of the hospital, the doctors had told my mother that I wasn't going to be able to walk again for the rest of my life. I was going to be paralyzed, you know. And so from that, you know, the Lord had grace in my life, mercy on me, and, you know, after a few months, I started walking, started doing everything again. So I had to start from like a baby, basically, you know. And it's just I'm grateful for being here, you know. After that, you know, my mother brought me here to the United States. I was raised up with my brothers, and my mother was an alcoholic mother as well. You know, being the mother and father figure at the same time, you know, it was tough. And I just I didn't have that father figure. At the age of 15, I started using alcohol and, you know, hanging out with the wrong people. At the age of 19 is where I started using crystal meth, and that's where my life went, you know, down the hill. And so I started ruining my relationship with my family, my friends. I lost, you know, basically almost everything I loved. And so, you know, I came to last year, around August. You know, my brother told me about this gentleman that went through the ministry. His name is Salvador, and he came and met me at my brother's shop. He told me how it changed his life and how I needed to come here. You know, so he prayed over me. A few moments after he left, I felt the Holy Spirit touching me, you know, and convicting me to come here and change my life, you know. It's been one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life, but it's the most rewarding for sure. And right now what the Lord's been doing in my life is restoring my relationship with my family. You know, he's renewing my mind. And I'm just, he's giving me an appetite for the Word, you know. And so many more things that will come, you know, from just being here and being blessed to have these many people supporting me and lifting me up. And I just want to leave you guys with two different scripture verses. Lamentations 3:55 through 58. It says, I call on your name, O Lord, from the depths of the pit. You heard my plea. Do not close your ears to my cry for relief. You came near when I called you, and you said, do not fear. O Lord, you took up my case. You redeemed my life. And I also want to leave you guys with Isaiah 55, 10 and 11. It says, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, so shall my word be that comes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Thank you guys very much.
So I got two of them for you, Seth. But Jonathan has come a long way. You know what I'm saying? You can listen to what the Lord has done in his life, not believing, even his family, not believing what the doctors said, you know, what the people were telling him around him, you know. And here he is encouraging, remembering with such a beautiful mind. And it's a precious thing to see. But the ministry provides a place just for an atmosphere of praise. You know, an atmosphere of worship, because we know in that place, an effective prayer in that place of worship, that's where the change starts happening. That's where we really see ourselves, you know, and we see most importantly the glory of the living God. But it seems like every time I come to this church, I think it's my third time coming, I got this agenda in my head as I walk through the door. I got you know, I'm like a robot. I'm very much like a robot. You hear it? My robot. But they get the joke. They get the joke. But I just want to share something from my heart. You know, it's not that God ain't the God of confusion, you know, but sometimes I think he stunts my thinking a little bit, so it makes me have to dig a little deeper and speak from a place that I'm always not always speaking from, you know? Or sharing some things that I don't always share all the time. Because I'm a man, and I got to hide stuff, you know? But that ain't the case, you know? I'm broken before the Lord. The broken, contrite heart, you know? But, you know, today's Mother's Day. Obviously, there's a lot of different emotion. You guys got time for a couple more testimonies? Okay. You know? And, obviously, my mom, you know, she dealt with a deeply possessed son, you know. I coming from where I came from, I was very attuned to what it is. The Lord just wants to, you know, reaffirm that there's a spiritual war going on, that there's demons, that there's things that we are facing that are affecting us, that are affecting our children, that are affecting all these different things, you know, that it's real. And I know some, maybe a couple people that are young in here, but this stuff's real. You know, I used to be afraid to mention that stuff. You know, I used to believe the fear and the lie of the enemy was telling me not to speak on these things. But it's me. It's my testimony. And I don't love my life even to the death. You know, I haven't been faced with death just yet. But I would hope that maybe I'd have the faith, you know, that Jesus prayed I'd have to lay it down in that moment. But I was very attuned to the spiritual realm. I didn't know of God. All I knew was the enemy. All I knew was the evil spirits. I knew these demons. You know, I had asked a demon by name into my life when I was in a jail cell once to use me to do what he wills through me. And he did. My life got real a little bit worse. You know, I worshipped Hitler. I worshipped serial killers. I idolized them. You know. I wanted to be them. I believed I was a part of them. This was my mindset. This is how broken I was. You know, so when I lift my hand like this, I'm praising Jesus Christ today. Because my hand has been anointed. My hand, because I know whose righteous right hand. Oh, God. Because I know who redeemed my life. But Jesus set me free of those things. But he sent a mom. My mom, she went through it, right? But there's another mom I want to speak about real quick. And she's actually a spiritual mother to all these men now. And I had gotten clean because my best friend at the time, about a month before I came to the ministry, he was getting married, and it was a big old beach wedding. And lo and behold, they wanna ask old drug addict Tyler, old wrecked, shipwrecked that I am, to be the best man. And man, the last thing I want to do, I've ruined so much. I did not want to ruin this wedding. Like I was gonna be the one to ruin the wedding, you know, thinking about myself, right? So I got clean for like a week before the wedding, you know, so I would be sober during the wedding, you know. And and this woman that lullaby, man. Hallelujah. She was actually a minister in my best friend's wedding. I went through all the motions, everything like that, you know. And we get done with the dinner, you know, after the wedding and all that stuff. She comes up to me and she hands me this bag, and it's got her card in it. And there's a note in there, not just a note, a card, you know. And if you ever need anything, you know what I'm saying, call me. And she gave me that little Jesus calling book, devotion, man. Man, that's Jesus calling. It's like, what, every word? Anyway. So I took that and I went home. See, she didn't know that I idolized all those things. She didn't know that I was going to do events in the next week that were going to take my life, that were going to affect other people's lives. She didn't know all that. She just gave me a card of encouragement. She just gave me her number. When I stood at my door a couple days later, after I said goodbye to my kids, knowing I was never going to see them again because of the things and the actions I was about to take, because of who I idolized and who I worshiped in my life up to that point, the Lord said, "Do you want to live or die?" as I stood at my door. He said, "Do you want to live or die?" But he said it gently. I had that card in my hand. Well, that was the hardest thing I've ever done. I said, "I want to live." So I want to live. And all she did was give me that card. So I just want to encourage you guys. And here I stand today. That's what I was thinking about this morning. See, if she wouldn't have gave me that, would I have been here? Would she be in all these men's lives? Boy, she's going to war for these men, just like most of you are going to war for me, men. And your men. And your children, you know? All right, Mr. Mike. I have Mr. Mike here close us out.
My name is Mike. I'm from Michigan. It's crazy because there's actually four seasons up there, you know. Is it all right? Yeah. All right, there we go. Okay. So I've been in the ministry now for about 6 months, which is a long time for me. I did grow up in a church. I was forced to go to church, really. I mean, I was like the little kid in the pews playing paper hockey and stuff like that. But I didn't really care. Like, I didn't, at the time, like, I stopped going at, like, 16 years old. Just started doing what I wanted to do. So I never really took that to mind. I played sports, got into drinking, did pretty well in high school, though, for the most part. Sold drugs on the side, though. My senior year, it was the first time I entered like a stage of depression where it was the first time I tried to take my own life. So I was out of school for the last 2 months of my senior year, and I took all my exams at home. I ended up passing, and I was able to walk with my class in 2008, which was great. So I did get my diploma. After that, I met a girl, age 19, got married. This was in 2009. End of 2009, got married, we had a child, and I joined the military, and I thought everything was going great. You know, I was still selling, you know, I stopped selling drugs at that point, but I was drinking. Like, I picked up the drinking a lot and stuff like that, you know what I mean? And it just got worse and worse and worse, and, like, I just thought, like, okay, well, you know, everybody was telling me, you know, slow down, it's going to catch up to you, and I'm like, nah, I can control it, you know. the enemy's telling me all this stuff, like I can deal with it, I can control it, and stuff like that. And, you know, I was just going for it. I entered another stage of depression after everything that I've already gone through. This is 2016, 2017 now. And everything that I've been through, I got out of the military, which I don't know how that happened, like just completely in one piece. And, you know, thank God for that. And but I wasn't there for my daughter a lot. I was gone a lot. And me and my ex-wife, I went through a divorce and stuff like that. And, you know, I just entered that deep, dark depression again. And, like, I thought, like, I was missing something, so I'd always go back to the bottle. That was my thing. It was alcohol. Even though I was strung out on heroin before, I was selling drugs, I was doing this and that, you know, selling acid and stuff like that just to make the money. And I seen what it was doing to other people's lives, but at that time I didn't care because I just wanted the money. That itself, selling drugs, is an addiction. It's a lifestyle, and I chose that lifestyle over everything else. So that's the point where I started losing everything. So at that time, I said, 2021, I said, you know what, I got to do something. This is after, you know, getting arrested a bunch of times. This is going to rehabs. It didn't work a bunch of times. Nothing ever worked, you know, because I didn't put God first. I didn't, you know, everybody's like, we need to pray about it, and you need to go to church. And I think I'm like, nah, I'm good. I'm all right. So I found out about Loving Hands through my mom, and I didn't even know. My cousin was part of he's a program director for the Palmetto campus. I didn't know that. I didn't even know him at the time. And that's the reason why I found out about the program. So I did, last year I flew down, and I just looked at the rule book. I'm like, no, I'm good. And I, you know, basically, it's true though. And that's literally what happened. And, I was on a plane back to Michigan, back to Detroit. So, but that following year, that whole year that I was back in Michigan, was actually one of the toughest years because I'd already lost everything at that point. I left my job. I left everything that I already had. You know, I didn't have anything to sell anymore, so I had to, like, pick all that back up again, go through that. And all I had was my truck. And it's, like, negative 20 degrees out at that point in Michigan, and like, I'm having problems with my truck. It won't want to start. So I'm sitting there. I'm literally an icicle in my truck with nothing but a really thin blanket and, like, two-fifths vodka. And, like, I just, that was a normal routine for me, just drinking myself to sleep every single night. You know, the things were going through my head. I wasn't right. And I'm like, you know what, God, if you are real and if you're really there, please, I will give my life to you. Get me out of this. And, you know, I went through that whole winter, and I survived it somehow. And, you know, I put the drugs down. I've actually been clean from heroin for 5 years now. So, yeah. So, you know, I said, you know what, I'm gonna do this program. I need this. I need the time. I need God. And, you know, everybody that's warned me and told me, like, Mike, that's what you're missing. And you're missing out on a lot. And come to find out, they were right. You know, since I've been here, I came back. I've gotten a little trouble since then. Like, I'm on probation right now. And I absconded my probation just to be here. Because I knew they wouldn't allow me to do that. And you're like, hey, can I go to Florida to this program? No, they wouldn't let me do that. So I just left. They took my license and everything, so I couldn't fly. So I just took a Greyhound, like a 38-hour trip all the way here just to get here. But I made it. And since I've been here, it's just been amazing. Like, I went through detox really bad, and I almost did leave again. But I stuck it out, and my brothers behind me, they stuck around for me, and they really, like, pushed me when I needed it. And I know that was God working through everything, you know, and I just, you know, I get to talk to my daughter now. She loves me. I get to talk to her. Even though she's 1,500 miles away from here, I still get to talk to her, and she still tells me, like, Dad, I'm really proud of you, and I love you. and like I can't wait to see you, and I can't wait to spend time with you again. And she's doing really good. So I'm thankful for like my brother-in-law, my sister, for taking care of her while I'm gone. I'm thankful to be here. I'm thankful for what God has already shown me. I was like a little squirt when I came in here. I gained like 60 pounds in 6 months, so that's pretty good. But yeah, I'm just grateful to be here, and you know, I feel great. I know He's working on me every day. I go to Him for everything. I put Him first for everything. I'm not perfect, but He shows me things every day that I could work on, and I know that everything is going to be okay. It seems like a long road, and I know it is, but I trust in God, and I know that things will be revealed to me in His time. Verse I'd like to leave you all with is 1 John chapter 4, verse 15 and 16. It says, "Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him." Thank you.
All right, so in closing, you know, it's a family atmosphere. You know, we're doing life together. We're living life together. We're going through the ups. We're going through the downs together, you know. And we're receiving, you know, the grace that God has given us, you know, as best as our ability. But the ministry doesn't charge the men for the 2 years that they're there. You don't charge them at the 3 years they're there either. But it's just the way God's provided through churches, through individuals, and it's a precious thing. And we were grateful when Mike came. And then he said, "Oh, by the way, I'm on probation, and I just left, and I got a warrant, and I got a this, and I got that." I'm like, "All right, Holy Spirit, you're the advocate." But when I tell you that they literally handed over everything that he had to do up there to us as a ministry, that has never happened, ever, because we're not accredited to counsel for the state. We're not, you know, these little things, these little credentials we don't got, you know, but we got the Holy Ghost. But I'm going to give it back to give it to the pastor here, but I just want the guys that didn't share to say their name and how long they've been here. And
my name's Ben. I've been here for 10 months.
My name's Cortland. I've been here for a month.
My name is David. I've been here for 3 months.
My name is John Britt. I'm from Alabama, and I've been here 14 months now.
My name is Benjamin. I've been here for 2 weeks.
My name is Brett. I've been here for 1 day.
My name is Andrew, G, not Kilby. I've been here for 17 months.
Have a seat for just one more second. You guys did fantastic. Now, guys, weren't you blessed? Weren't you blessed? All right, give us 2 more minutes, and then just so you know, we've got, I hope you guys like barbecue, because Pastor Gary, yeah, that's good, because let me tell you, Pastor Gary makes the best smoked pulled pork. Man, this big old giant smoker, he's been smoking it for a long time. It's all back out there in the back. They've got picnic tables. We've got lunch for everybody. So hopefully you guys are hungry. Hey, Pastor Gary. Hey, Josh. Hey, Josh, can you come up here and have a seat just for a second, for 2 seconds? Hey, by the way, two things real quickly. One is they're selling shirts and stuff like that in the back, like the one Pastor Gary has on. They're $15 a piece. You just hand them a 20. They give you a shirt. Each also... somebody handed me a note, so I don't even know who this is, so if you are, you need to come talk to me afterwards, just so I know who it is, but somebody sent me a note saying that they will match up to $1,000 of giving to Loving Hands today, if the church takes an offering for them, and we already are happy to do that now. Since we don't do offerings, because we don't want to be making about money, we have in the very back of the church is a little bird box. Why a little bird box, you say? Because he provides for the birds of the air, and he provides for us. So there's a little bird box. If you would write a check, or you could put some cash in an envelope and say, "For Loving Hands." If you will do that, we will count. We'll have the tithe counters count afterwards. and just make out, you know, either a check to Home Fellowship Church for Loving Hands or a check directly to Loving Hands. Put it in that bird box. We'll count it. And then someone else is going to match up to $1,000 for that as well. And so we're going to really, God, praise God, really bless them. So please do that. Please do that. And Miriam, do you have something you want to say? Yes. 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 Ray Nielsen, if you guys remember them, he called me yesterday. He's like, yeah, we just sold my house. I moved. He goes, I had a bunch of really nice stuff. And he goes, I blame you guys for this. Because I gave it all away. I gave it all to Loving Hands Ministry. They came with a truck, picked up a truck or two. And I said, praise the Lord. And so anyway, we're gonna have Josh pray for you guys. And for us and for the food. And then Pastor Gary, you want to give us instructions if you just hand the mic to him. And
Actually, could I give you instructions and then hand the mic?
Yeah, absolutely. And where's Tyler? I saw him. I just want to let you know, brother, you did the exact right thing. You spoke exactly what you were supposed to speak in Jesus' name by the unction of the Holy Spirit. And I want to tell you, when you feel that prompting, you just do it. You spoke, tear in my eye, that was of the Lord, and we're all grateful for it. Yeah. So, Pastor Gary, I'm giving you this. You give it to Josh, and then we go eat in the back. All right.
Okay, let's see. So everyone knows we've got pulled pork, drumsticks, hot dogs, hamburgers. The sides are set up along this back wall here, and that drinks are along the fence. So come hungry. I think all told, I don't know. We've got about 50 pounds of meat out there, so I don't think anybody's going to go away hungry. And Josh is going to ask a blessing on everyone. We'll see you outside.
Perfect. Perfect. All right. Let's bow our heads, please, first. Lord, what do we say? God, if it wasn't for you, we would all be lost. We would all be broken. We would all be distraught. We would all be in dark places, Lord, without light. Lord, each and every one of us, we need you when we wake up. We need you throughout the day. We need you before we go to bed, Lord. We need you while we sleep, Lord, because there's constant attacks bombarding us all day long, every day, Lord, from the enemy who wants nothing more than just to take away our joy, our peace, our happiness, Lord. Help us to draw close to you. Help us to listen to your word, to listen to your still voice, Lord. Help us to have ears that are open, hearts that are open, minds, Lord, to receive everything that you have for us, Lord, and to reach out and grab it, Lord, to take hold of it, Lord. Not just your promises, Lord, but your love, Lord, your mercy and your kindness, Lord. If it wasn't for your love, we would be, we wouldn't be here, Lord. We'd be nothing without your all-consuming love, Lord. You loved us first. Lord, help us to love you. Help us to just be thankful. Thankful for all the things that we have, Lord. I know we are in different positions of life, different, just every single aspect, Lord. But you are faithful to be right where we are, no matter where we are, be it on way up in the mountaintops, way down in the depths, Lord, or even under rocks, Lord. There's no place where we could hide, no place where we can go that's too far from your loving arms, Lord, from your outstretched reach, Lord. Father God, they say that the opposite of addiction, Lord, is connecting. Lord, help us to connect to you. Help us to connect to the source, Lord, not to these other things that would leave us empty, leave us without joy, Lord. Some of these things are pleasurable for a season, for a moment, Lord, but they leave us wanting more and more, Lord. They lead to destruction, devastation, Lord, but you are peace, you are joy, you are hope, you are mercy, Lord. Help us to connect to you, to connect to those who follow you, Lord, not just with their mouths, but with their actions and with their words, Lord. Lord, I pray over the Loving Hands ministry. Be with them, Lord. Just give them wisdom. Bless them, Lord. Show them everything that you have in store for their lives, Lord. Lord, you have a great calling for every single one of us, Lord, whether we know it or not, Lord. For times such as these, Lord, you call us out. I ask that you just be there with them, Lord, in their devotions and their teachings. We pray over this food, Lord, for the barbecue, for our picnic. I pray that it is more than enough, that it is an abundant, Lord, that it will give us nutrition, Lord, even though it's barbecue. Lord, fill our tummies. Help us to be thankful. Just enjoy fellowship with other believers, Lord. It's rare that we can get together with people of like mind that, you know, we just give you the rest of this day in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Enjoy the food, folks. God bless you. Don't forget to give in the back, the loving hands.